Now you know this ain't a secret group that's on the Facebook. Here you'll hear the boozy news. Call all your drinking crews, put down the drugs and booze. You come in the rooms, no timing, or you're coming new. Shelly, Mark, and Bruce, they give the wisest news. Rock bottom, brought your time, bought new attitude. Yeah, reppin' rule 62. After meetings, what you do when the sharing's through? Like these three, you might visit your best coffee house. Kick your feet up in a meetup, lay your vocals down. Find a topic pulled from decades of experience. See druggies in their huggies showing nothing close to common sense. Have some true blue funny conversation. Then send that shit bit by bit across the attic nation. Yeah, and you know what's coming. Number one fan Fran, and she's humming. Recovery, recovery, recovery. 101 recovery, recovery, recovery. 101 recovery, recovery, recovery. 101.
Thank you to Noah for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Had to do that because we did Fran last time. And he sampled Fran in his.
Yes.
Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAFA.
Or some of them more than once.
Yeah. Well, you know, none of them guys.
Yeah. Or any of the Anons.
Not a one. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet. Shelly's still looking at the board.
I know. She's like,
I just check every now and then to make sure.
Thank you. And everything's fine, right?
Just.
So, Terminal 3 seems to have a uniquely. Do you see a unique terminal?
Yeah.
It's terminally unique.
Terminal 3 is terminal.
It's terminally unique.
Yeah. So, Shelly, what you got coming up?
Like the clothing company.
Yes.
What do you got coming up besides zucchini?
Eggplants, tomatoes.
The garden is going crazy right now.
I did not have a single zucchini plant bear fruit this year.
Well, we just planted them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I planted mine the beginning of March and got no zucchini. My yellow squash did great. I got no zucchini.
Did you diddle the flowers?
Did you diddle the flowers? Shelly will go in with the pencil with an eraser and diddle in the one flower and go over and she like pollinates them just like bees.
If you don't have enough pollinators, zucchini require very mobile pollinators because there's a male flower and a female flower.
Oh.
And they don't self-pollinate like the wind because the stamens are so deep in there.
Did not know that.
If you have a lot of ants, ants will pollinate them too.
I don't have a lot
of ants. Because the nectar, the ants like the nectar. Uh-huh. But you have to. Zucchini is one of those things. If you don't live in the Southwest, there's a lot of pollinators.
Now, my sister planted zucchini, and these things are freaking mutants.
Mutants?
They are 6 to 8 inches around and about a foot to a foot and a half long.
Oh, geez.
And she planted them in.
She's leaving them on way too long.
She planted them in April.
Yeah. See, yeah. I like to pull the zucchini when they're about. I mean, 6 inches long is good, but I like the juvenile ones because they're more tender.
Yeah.
But the larger ones are actually good for, like, if you chop them up for, like, chutney or salads or you can make boats
really
out of them.
They're really good for boats. Zucchini boats are awesome.
My parents had zucchini out on the – there used to be a field next to their house where that parking lot is. And we went down to Mazatlan, and my brother was – taking care of the garden. We came back, dude, we had zucchini that looked like small watermelons. I mean, they were gigantic. They were huge.
They're huge.
Well, you know what really bumming me out?
What?
I went out the other day. I looked at the avocado tree because I used, you know, the avocado feed and was watering and everything. Had 15 avocados on there, and it's not a very big tree, so there was 15 avocados. And I went out there yesterday. There is not one on the tree.
They were little tiny of it. They were like the buds with the little babies on them. Like the size
of olive sized ones. Every single one of them
fell off.
And we had a thing last year where there must have been 400 little avocados. And they just fell off wholesale all over the place.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing with that.
You got to call the avocado tree doctor.
He did. That's why he tried a new tech with the fertilizer and the water this year.
And the weird thing is, I put the fertilizer in the ground.
How long have you had this?
I watered it.
10 years.
Oh.
I watered it.
Producing.
And within days of me feeding it and watering it, these things popped up.
Boop, boop, boop,
now,
boop, boop, boop.
I think there may be more coming, But I don't know.
I don't know that it's also the season for reed avocados, because I think reed avocados are like a fall, early winter thing.
Yes.
Right, but they start growing.
It might be too soon for them, though.
Yeah, maybe because I know that my parents' avocados, actually, we used to, the avocados would come right in season when I would come down for Thanksgiving, and I would take them up to Oregon, and I was the king of Oregon because they don't have good avocados up there.
You were missing guacamole.
True. We look like the kings one year. I had 1 6-foot branch break off my mom's tree. There was 212 avocados on it.
Nice.
And I mean, yeah, she had a tree that was ridiculous. And the biggest, largest avocado tree she has never given fruit.
And then she has that one that has those disgusting black avocados that come off of it.
Yeah, it's like this, when you
horrible.
Open them up, they're like this brown, nutty kind of avocado that's just not good.
It's not, I don't know what they are, but they're not good.
Thank you for joining the Recovery 101 Farm Report.
Wait!
You know what that means. Oh, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. We have impeccable dudes.
We do.
We have shout-outs to Damon, Natasha, Randy, Lisa, Carol, John, Natalie, Sally, Dakota, Johnny, Bill, Fran, Alexandria, Neil, and Kenny Potter. Oh, and Roland. I missed that one.
And who?
Roland.
Roland?
Yes.
Roland with the changes.
You keep on rolling. I should have done this as a question of the week. What's your favorite driving song?
Living on a Prayer.
Shelly?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, shit. Bruce? I would have thought it would have been a Van Halen song.
Bruce?
I think mine's Roll with the Changes.
Okay.
Stadium Rock, baby. Stadium Rock. So anyway, Shelly, the news.
The news.
And now the news.
Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health has released a new study. They studied 38,000 people who were prescribed Suboxone for, not for pain, because they also use Suboxone for post-surgery pain. It's a pain reliever. But they do use it also instead of methadone for stepping people down off of heroin.
Which many people are really,
against.
Really, really against.
Well, you'll be happy then, Bruce. This study, the study took 7 years. They've been studying 38,000 people between 2006 and 2013 because they wanted to know how effective it had been in... Because people would get on Suboxone, they'd do the step down and everything, and then they'd get off the Suboxone, and typically, then they're not tracked anymore once they're out of the program.
Right.
Well, Johns Hopkins wanted to know if it actually works long-term, so they took people through a 18-month program and then followed them for the next 7 years. And they found that 67% of them relapsed again within a year.
So it worked for a third.
Right, but they're not... So John Hopkins is recommending that another study be done and that perhaps the treatment option of using Suboxone for heroin addiction is not very efficacious.
I hear many people talk about Suboxone gets you... You know, they're like, oh... Yeah, I've got so much time clean, but I'm on Suboxone.
Well,
and they're
reason,
like, that's not clean.
The reason why Suboxone became so popular is because they thought it worked better than methadone, because the long-term methadone's been around longer, and the studies on methadone showed that it doesn't actually say in the story.
The
how
kick
many.
On methadone
I
is horrendous.
I never
horrendous.
Figured out why it was that guys I knew who did heroin and got off heroin and that were doing Suboxone, most of them were getting the Suboxone from their heroin dealer.
Oh, well,
wow.
Oh, great.
Well, and, you know, like when I was at Impact House was founded by heroin addicts. There was a lot of, there was a lot of everybody there when I went there, but most of the guys that ran the place were, and they were, you were not kicking with anything. You know what you were kicking with? Ice baths
a
and
cold
stuff.
Washcloth, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Because buying Suboxone from your heroin dealer is like buying penicillin from your hooker.
Well, well, I kind of wonder because if you're gonna get clean,
yeah,
you know, yeah, kicking heroin sucks ass, but only sucks for like
4 days,
4 to 6 days, depending on how bad
always
it was,
sucks
and then
bad
you're
for three
done.
Or 4 days, but
you know what? kicking methadone takes months and months and months and months. And it's not good either from what I hear, so. Yeah. Ugh.
Kicking flour and sugar isn't much easier.
Yeah.
Okay, the next story. Now, in the this is in the category of, wow, that's really a Cadillac problem. Boston Magazine has a writer who is from Canada and who has gone on a crusade.
Boston has its own magazine?
Boston Magazine, yes.
He did like two albums, didn't they?
He is this he's a Canadian expat. His name's Spencer Buell. He's gone on a crusade against what he sees as the commercialization of poutine.
Of what?
Which, poutine, which is a traditional...
Not Putin.
No.
No, poutine.
It's a traditional Canadian dish that's basically French fries with gravy and then chunks of cheese curds on top.
Awesome, yeah.
And it's very simple dish, and it's... I mean, a lot of people that go to Canada are like, oh my gosh, that was the best thing ever. Like, it was so tasty. Well, apparently it's become popular in Boston. Mm-hmm. It, for some reason, just that one city in America has taken up poutine as they're going to import this Canadian delicacy, they're calling it.
You'd think you could make it yourself.
Have you seen these AMC theater dine-in experiences? Do they have that around here? They've got one out in Ontario Mills.
No.
Yeah. You go and you can actually... book yourself a reserved reclining chair, and they serve you lunch right at your seat for a movie. I knew that because one of the things on their menu was poutine fries.
Oh,
first time I ever saw anything like that was a long time ago, and it was at Universal Studios when it was Universal Amphitheater, and you could. Like, you didn't just buy food. You could buy food. They weren't just selling you snacks. Like, you could get roast beef sandwiches. And,
yeah.
And you could get... They made these 32-ounce wine coolers.
Yeah.
32-ounce.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, the reason why he thinks that this is such a serious problem in Boston is because several restaurants... One of them is called The Gallows, actually, is the name of the restaurant. I'm not sure I would want to eat at a restaurant called The Gallows, but okay. They're not content to leave the poutine alone and just serve poutine. They're souping it up by putting other things on it. Like, they'll put... The Gallows restaurant is doing the thing where they take whatever is the popular dish in each state and putting it on top of poutine. So,
I had short rib poutine one time.
See, no, that's not poutine.
You had a what?
That's what he's saying.
Short rib. They put a short rib on it.
Huh.
It was awesome.
Like they did a poutine for Ohio at this Boston restaurant, and they put the
chili?
Fries, the gravy, the cheese curds, and then spaghetti and chili on top. Which sounds completely disgusting. Why would you do that?
But it's not disgusting.
Yeah, really. But here's the thing. So
yeah, poutine.
This is my poutine, big thing. So
poutine, just about anything, is pretty amazing.
Well, and
that's kind of like taking biscuits and gravy and mixing it with scrambled eggs and hash browns. It's good. Yeah.
Well, and that's why I'm saying this is a Cadillac problem. I mean, this guy is on a serious crusade.
Yeah. So what's Chauncey Silkshirt's problem with it?
That it's a serious problem because this is not poutine.
It's poutine with something else on it.
Of all the problems in America. I'm pretty sure this one isn't one, but he's taking up space in several newspapers in Boston to complain about this.
So we're going to give this one big eh.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I just thought the story
just
was
checking.
Funny.
You know what
I
it is?
I just thought it was funny because it's like a non-story.
Yeah.
It's aliens.
It's not aliens. Jeez.
Another variety of nothing burger.
Yes. Okay, now, the next story I thought was interesting. I'm trying to find the guy's first name. His last name is Scorsone.
Grossoni?
Franzisi Scorsone, who was
Italian,
a mobster from way back.
Italian guy?
Yeah, mobster from way back, was finally paroled today at 100 years old.
Figured he's not a danger anymore?
Well, he was up for parole when he was 94, and one of his phone calls, because they randomly monitor phone calls from inmates, they found out that he was still on the phone giving people instructions on things like how to hide dead bodies and where to deposit money.
What an idiot.
You know what? It's a lost art, though.
They're what, the mob?
Learn it from him.
Yeah.
You know, the mob knew how to hide bodies.
That's true.
Of them.
They still can't find, what's his name?
Gotti? Yeah, they still don't know where.
John Gotti?
No, they know Gotti's at. No. He died in prison. No, the Teamsters guy.
Teamsters, yeah.
Yeah, they were. They thought he was buried.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah,
they thought he was buried like in the stadium walls or something.
Buried under Redwood, the old Giant Stadium.
He's managed over his lifetime in the mob. He's managed to get paroled 6 times for various offenses, and then would end up back in jail. He has done a total in his whole life. He's done a total of 40 years in prison.
See, that's just not good for me.
He was convicted at age 93. He was in a wheelchair because he was still shaking down strip clubs and pizzerias.
In a wheelchair?
Yes.
You know.
He's almost a hero of the week.
It's one of the great lines out of the Shawshank Redemption. Perhaps you should find another line of work. You don't seem very good at robbing things.
Well, actually, he was very good at what he did. That's the problem, is that he killed, they're pretty sure, and he later admitted to, perhaps I did, killing dozens of people. Because he was also an enforcer.
But he ended up in jail for 40
but he's ending up
different
in,
times.
Right, but he's ending up in jail on,
which
like
means he's not that good at it.
6-year sentences for things like robbery or whatever.
He should have stuck with killing people.
Well, he said when he was 94 and they were talking about perhaps paroling him before they intercepted the phone call, he didn't actually advocate for his own release. His wife did. She died in 2012, but she was trying to get him to come home because he was so old and he needs to be with his family and have, you know, comfort and support. And his response to that was, "Who cares? I got to die someplace."
Wow.
And his daughter,
what a stud.
Daughter actually went before the board and said that he should stay in jail because he has more peace and support in jail than he would at home with her mother.
He's a hero in jail.
He's getting taken care of in jail. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I love this time of year anyway, because this is the time every few years where it comes up. Right now, we're right in the midst of Manson follower parole hearing season.
Yes
but they were denied.
Well, they're
again.
All denied, but it still comes up.
Yeah.
Every few years, and we get to watch them all, you know, roll through, and we get to watch all the old Manson specials.
Yeah.
I can't surprise. Helter Skelter has not been on yet. I look forward to that every 3 or 4 years when a parole.
You watch. You can watch Patty Hearst and the Symbian Lebanese. What was it? Liberation Army.
Yeah, the SLA and. Yeah, but you can watch.
I remember
all that
Chuck
stuff.
Henry was running. My dad and Chuck Henry's dad. He's a newscaster on Channel 7. They were good friends. They worked together, and Chuck Henry is running across the street, and had a bullet. Ricochet off the, you know, this is back in the days of film cans, had a film can that saved his life. So there.
Yep. Well, so he is now out of jail, and good. He's home with his family. Now that his wife has died, he was amenable to being paroled.
Wow.
That's a whole nother subject.
I know. Like, and his family is looking forward to his remaining days as a family and being together.
Maybe that's why he went back to prison so many times. He had a choice between living with his
wife.
Trying to get away from her.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Good Lord.
Now, everyone knows that it's been extremely hot lately. This next story is about that. However, unless you're in Arizona, you're not as hot as you could possibly be.
How about Death Valley?
Death Valley and Arizona have been remarkably similar in temperature this last week.
Yeah, it was 126 the other day in Death Valley, and they closed Phoenix Airport.
Yeah, it was 123.
Once it's over 120,
yeah.
120, they shut them down.
There are a number of interesting pictures that have been collected into a news article that I read because people in Arizona are taking pictures of things that are happening in the amazing heat. My favorites were the melting mailboxes because people would put people, you know, those big heavy duty industrial plastic stands for mailboxes.
Yeah.
It was so hot. They were melting and the mailboxes were falling over a fence. This guy did that, used that industrial plastic fencing.
Yeah.
His fence is melting.
Yeah.
The pictures are incredible. I can't even. And then there are people that are posting on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook are posting pictures of their cookouts. Because they don't want to heat up their kitchens.
Yeah.
So they're taking pans of food outside and putting them on the pavement and waiting for it to cook.
Yeah.
And it does.
Oh, yeah, it does.
There are women that are like putting all whole shelves full of. There are pictures of the woman who's making. She had to make 3 dozen cookies for her kids.
Yeah, you bake them on the
thing.
Yeah, you bake them on the sidewalk.
You can bake them on her dashboard.
Yeah, she took pictures of the cookie sheet. She put it on the dashboard in her car, close it up, go back in the house, come out half an hour later, and they'd be baked.
Yeah.
when I was a kid, I used to live in Arizona, and I clearly remember in the summertime walking across blacktop, and you could feel your shoes sticking to the blacktop.
Yeah.
And there was a story. Oh, my God. I don't know. You probably didn't get this, Shelley, but in Death Valley the other day, it was 126. This woman, now how she lost her sandals, I do not know, but she was at some sand dune and lost her sandals. Oh. She got third-degree burns trying to get back to her car. And I'm thinking, I mean, I don't want to go out on a limb here, but I'm like, I take off my shirt and I wrap it around my feet. I take off my pants and wrap them around my feet. I mean, something. It's like you got to know that's – it doesn't get any better as you're walking. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The third degree. The pain went away. It must be better. No, your nerve endings all have burned up.
Yes.
Don't worry, though. They'll be back really soon.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is that a lot of people in Arizona are now using oven mitts to drive because the steering wheel's so hot.
Well, yeah. That's why you cover...
That can happen a lot of places. I mean...
That's why you cover your windshield.
It was 102 here today, and, you know, I went to get in the car, and it was... In my daughter's car, and it's like you wouldn't want to touch. Matter of fact, black leather seats. And I go to get in there, and I'm really, really happy I wasn't wearing shorts because it was quite warm coming through the jeans, and right on skin is not good.
Yeah.
Okay, and this story is out of South Africa.
Okay.
Diamond story?
The names of the people are not actually in the story. However,
Nelson Mandela.
Shine bright like a diamond.
No.
Afrikaansers.
The owner of a donkey is asking their local
story.
Their local council elders.
That's a big barbecue.
To force a man to marry a donkey, his donkey, because he caught the man having sex with his donkey.
That's awesome.
And he said the pervert should be forced to take it as his wife because he has now defiled the donkey.
The guy's going to be like, good, I'm good with that.
Donkey don't give a fuck.
Yeah, the donkey doesn't care, but the guy's like, yeah, sure.
No problem.
No worries.
Yeah, here, let me make her dinner.
What are you going to give? What are you going to give for a dowry?
The farmer, what?
Hey.
The farmer who caught the man having sex said, when I went to him, he said that he was sorry about it, but I'm not satisfied because it's not the first time he has defiled my donkey.
Tell the farmer to head back to the Dell.
Back to the Dell. The tribal authority council said that they would investigate and they want to talk to the man, but he will not come and see them. So
they should make him move to Libya where that's not even a crime.
Yeah.
Who?
Or any of the South American, a number of South American countries. Remember we did that Boozy News, it was like not that long ago, where they recently made it illegal bestiality in Florida. Before that,
that was a
it
couple
wasn't,
years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't illegal before that.
Yeah.
And finally, we have the...
Hey, what was the donkey's name?
It doesn't say in the story. I told you there were no names
in the
story.
Should be Christine Brinkley.
That'd be funny.
Are we ready for the last story?
Yes.
This comes under the category of if you buy a house in an HOA area, then you've got other bigger problems than you think.
HOA?
Homeowners Association, because those people are brutal.
Yes.
The gentleman in the story, Joe DeVerdi, his mailbox, there was a tiny pink
chip melting
on the side of the mailbox. And the Homeowners Association sent him a warning that he had to replace or repair his mailbox because there was a tiny paint chip. These people are so anal retentive. I'm pretty sure that HOA people are like demons from hell because only, I don't know, I can't even fathom being that anally retentive that I'm going to go around and inspect everyone's property for any tiny flaw.
Beelzebub has the devil put aside for me.
So they sent him the warning. He never got it. 3 months later, they slap him with $1,000 fine. He didn't get the notice of the fine. They've now put a lien on his house and are starting foreclosure proceedings because of a chip on his mailbox paint. Now, here's the problem. And this is why he's suing them. And now the whole thing is in the court system, so we don't know what the outcome is going to be yet. They sent the letters to his ex-girlfriend who used to live in the house.
He's
when
walk.
She took her name off of the pay. Basically, she wrote her half of the house over to him. He gave her money. She bought
he's
him out of
win.
Her house. When they she told the homeowners association that she was no longer a resident and gave them her forwarding address, they changed his address as well, even though he's still living there, and sent all of his mail to her.
He'll walk.
Yeah, he's walking. He's not paying anything. They're paying court costs, everything.
But the HOA is contesting his suit because they say that he should have known that there was he had a damaged mailbox that was decreasing the value of the property.
Should have known. Wow.
Should have, could have, would have, but didn't.
Yeah. Now, and they admitted that they erred in changing the mailing address.
That's going to seal it.
And she was under no obligation to forward his mail.
Nope. They're done.
So
yeah, they're done.
Yeah, so I will be interested to see what happens in that because now the HOA fees are now up to $7,000 and they already started foreclosure proceedings, which had to be halted because of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
So
yeah. He's walking.
Follow up.
We shall see what happens.
Where was this?
That was in... I have to find it because I just almost closed it out. Wesley Chapel's Homeowners Association, the Seven Oaks subdivision of somewhere I can't find in the story.
Wow.
The name of the place sounds she-she.
Well, yeah. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the Boozy News.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
All right, so we got a topic, Mark.
We do.
What is it?
I don't remember. Yeah, I do.
Getting ready for the steps or diving in?
Well, we've now hit the end of June, so we annually go through and do the steps.
And sometimes we pretend to do the traditions.
Sometimes we pretend to do the traditions. So I figured since next week we'll probably begin that, first week of July that we record.
Yes.
So I figured we should do a show called Prelude to the First Step.
I drank a lot.
In between those times. Between drank a lot and step one, what goes on?
Crying.
Okay. Is there any program involved?
Well, there's certainly showing up at a meeting.
Okay, so.
Or discovering that meetings
exist.
I mean, for me. You know, I've talked about this before on the show. It's like when I thought that I was a coke addict. And, you know, I went to an AA meeting and I went in there and I'm like, this is not for me. I'm like, wow, you guys drink a lot. You know,
you didn't start 2/5 of cocaine a day?
Well, yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like I'm hearing people talking about, you know, I drank a half gallon of Kessler's every day. And I'm like, wow, dude, that's a lot.
He'd be like,
oh, you're slamming a half ounce of cocaine a day. It's like, that's a lot, you know. But I didn't get it. Everyone was old. I was young. Yep. I didn't think I belonged there.
Right.
And I would have never gone to AA. I would have never gone to AA because I didn't, you know, I wasn't thinking alcohol was my thing. It was because of a therapist that I even went there in the first place because I would have never gone,
right.
And I would have never gone to Narcotics Anonymous because I knew that was for heroin.
Yep.
And at the time, the first time I got sober, there was no CA.
Right.
So, you know, at least people now have kind of the benefit of, you know, we talked about it a week or two ago where we talked about programs that are drug specific and such. And it's
right.
Like one of the reasons for that is, you know, people can go, oh, Crystal Meth Anonymous. Oh, I do crystal meth. Hey, that's for me.
I can relate, yeah.
How about you, Shelly? What happened to you?
Yeah. Between the time that you drank and the time where you got to step one.
Dun,
let's
dun,
approach
dun.
It another way. The way this program works is outlined in Chapter 5 of the Big Book, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right.
So between the time you read the words, rarely have we seen, and here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. There's like a page of stuff that, yeah. that comes before work at step one.
Yeah, I almost died. There was that.
If you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it,
then you will take.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know, we read it at every meeting. Yeah.
I know. I'm just trying to figure out where this. I'm baffled by this question.
Well, because one of the things is, when I get a new sponsee,
yeah,
the first thing I have them read is the doctor's opinion. The second thing is the first page of Chapter 5. Because my question to them is, are you willing to go to any lengths?
Right.
We obviously were.
Right.
Right.
Because we're still here.
Actually, I was willing to go to any lengths to get Bruce to shut up. Well, that was why I started.
That's a lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
You're still like that today.
I know. And it happened to work for me. I just wanted to get him off my back.
Yeah.
And then I figured I could go back to sneaking around and do whatever I wanted to do. And in the meantime, discovered that I didn't really want to be an alcoholic anymore. I didn't want to drink. So then I was willing to go to any lengths.
I still wanted to be a cocaine user. I just didn't want to be a cocaine addict.
I remember those days.
Yeah.
And see, I can't differentiate because in my head, when I think about my drinking days, because I binge the way I did, I don't know how to drink normally. Mm-hmm. So it's all or nothing. And I don't want the all.
Is that why my best day is using piss all over my best day sober?
Probably, because I didn't have any best days drinking.
See, I had a lot of best days.
Yeah, me too.
All of my days drinking were pretty much a desperate struggle to get to the spot. And then once I got to the spot, I had to maintain it, which I never could. And then I ended up with my head in the toilet. So, you know, it wasn't fun. None of it was fun because I already had the program in my head because I grew up with it. So I had no fun. It was no bloody fun.
Well, I had lots of really good times out there. But when I compare them to some of the good times in recovery, even though they were really, really great times out there, I mean, there was all kinds of rock and roll this and girls and all the lots of cocaine and all that. But, you know, being there when your kid is born, you know, getting married, stuff like that is, you know, being able to be there when my dad passed away. I mean, those things are the kind of things.
Getting married seemed a lot better at the time than it turned out for me.
Well, I was going to say, I got married twice when I was loaded. Yeah. No, I got married once when I was loaded and twice in recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how about you, Mark? The in-between time.
Yeah, I mean, I showed up in a program not knowing what it was, not knowing what to do. Not knowing anything, but knowing I didn't want to feel the way I felt.
Bunch of people wanting to shake your hand and hug you, and you're like, who are you?
Yeah. You know, in CA meetings in the 80s, hugs were the best part.
Yes.
So, they're still pretty cool, but hugs were the best part. And, you know, but like I show up in these rooms, bunch of happy people, getting healthy, serious as hell about staying clean and sober. So it's like, I got to get a sponsor. But those first few days of going to meetings and just being around the group was all the stuff I had to do before I got to the first step. You know, I got around these people. They're like, don't drink or use no matter what. Okay, well, I need to come to terms with that. They're going to teach me how by doing the steps. But right now, I just got to come to terms that I need to do it.
Right.
You know? Grabbing onto the program like a drowning man grabs onto a life preserver.
Yes.
You got to be there. There's no surrender if you don't understand that you're absolutely fighting a losing battle.
Which I didn't believe at first. I really didn't.
Yeah, 9 times you didn't believe it.
Yeah, a million times I didn't believe it. It's like I just thought, you know, I had the same misconception that many dope fiends and alcoholics have when they, you know, I just need a little break. You know, I need to do it differently. Yeah. I need to be able to work it. And everyone, and I remember countless times people in the program telling me, that ain't the way it works. It's not going to work for you. It's not going to work. And I would go out and I'd be like, wow, that didn't work.
Yeah.
And then my selective memory would come in. I'd get loaded again and I'd come back and they'd be like, that ain't going to work. And I'm like, oh. And the funny thing is, because the last time I came in, and I've said this on the show, the last time I came in, my bottom was wimpy. I mean, it was wimpy. I mean, I was still homeless, but I mean, it was wimpy. I did a quarter gram for my last hurrah. Yeah. And I remember doing it, and I was just sitting there, and I was like, well, that was a bunch of freaking nothing.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was my bottom.
Yeah.
But I had been so entrenched in hearing over and over again how my way wasn't going to work. And that one day, I'm like, I guess it's not going to work.
Yeah.
That was the realization, is that I tried to do it every which way I could. So when I got to the meeting, it was like that. It's like, if you're willing to go to any length, you know what? I was willing to go to any length because I had tried every other length and none of them worked.
Right.
I think the point that you're talking about, when you're in meetings, you start to go to meetings and you're very new and you haven't really worked the steps yet and you're trying to figure out what you're doing. I didn't start fast tracking and really working steps till it was a little bit after 30 days. And my problem was I got stuck on the concept of surrender, like you were just talking about. Intellectually, I understood it. I understood the concept and I understood what they were saying. My brain kept telling me, but how do you do that? Physically, how do you do that? What do I do to get this concept to work for me? And I couldn't make that connection. And it was after I'd had about 30 days or something like that, 30, 60, I don't remember. Because I do remember that I dropped my fifth when I had 6 months. And I was actually in a morning meeting. God knows why I went to a morning meeting. I never did that before, but I went that day. And I don't even remember what the topic was, but all of a sudden it was like I just suddenly got it. And I'm sitting in the meeting. It was like, oh.
Yeah.
And it was the concept of surrender for me intellectually was kind of like a falling backward feeling and being caught by my higher power. And I made the connection between higher power and surrender. And I don't know how it happened. It just happened in my brain. And the idea of, I don't need to struggle with this anymore. I don't need to fight with this anymore because I just let my higher power take it and I fall back on that. I don't need a fallback position anymore because my higher power is my fallback position. And that was how I understood surrender. And then after that, I started to work the steps. So that's what happened in that period of time you're talking about.
So I think I talked about on the show once about I got a new sponsee. And in FA, which is the only program that I will sponsor females in, and she told me the first couple times we talked that by the time we talked next time, I needed to find a new word besides surrender to use for her to describe how to do the first step.
There isn't one.
Give up.
There isn't another one. I mean, that's the word that fits.
I know.
It's you know what, though?
Use two words next time she called.
Bye-bye.
You're fired, yeah.
Well, you know what? It's common.
I trumped her.
I mean, it's common. If you think about it, I mean, how many people come in the program and the concept, you know, what we've always been taught is you do really well, you do really well, you put in a lot of effort, you do really well, and you win. And these guys are like, give up everything. And I remember being in a meeting and I was like, I give up. They're like, hey, you won. And I'm like, wait, no, that doesn't work. And they're like, yeah, it does. This is the only place on earth that works.
Galaxy Quest. Never give up, never surrender.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, and so when people used to tell me, I get exactly what Shelby was saying, you got to surrender to win. I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense. You know,
but it does now.
80% of the time, that works every time. That doesn't even make sense.
And when you're talking, another thing I'd like to interject here, and in the first 30 days, which is the hardest for anybody, I have given several copies of Living Sober away to sponsees. Mm-hmm. I go up to the central office and buy them because that is, especially with young sponsees that have heard a lot of stuff in sober livings and they want to know what their homework is and what they've got to write about today and all of this stuff. And I'm like, that's not in the first 164 pages. And I warn people, I've got three new ones now. Two of them are actually calling me.
Wow.
I know.
That means you have two.
Well, the third one actually isn't allowed to call me for another 12 days or so. I found that out when talking to one of them yesterday.
That would be great to know the last show we did. You have to get a sponsor, but you can't call her.
Yeah, I know. Well, they didn't tell her she had to get a sponsor at that point. Apparently, she asked me so that she would be ready. Because she wants to get through it. She wants to do this.
You're her pre-sponsor.
I'm her pre-sponsor.
Perfect. It's like pre-soaking.
Sponsor is interruptus.
I've had a lot of young sponsees that want to know what they're supposed to do, like the physical things. And I get that. Because in the beginning, what do you do? So I'm not drinking. Now what do I do? You've got a lot of time on your hands. And that book is invaluable in the first 30 days because it does give you, 30 days worth of suggestions about what to do.
Does it?
Take your big book. Read page 432. Do exactly what it says.
Nothing?
That's blank.
I was going to say, 432? I don't think there's... Yeah,
432.
I think there's nothing on that.
There isn't. It's blank. That's what you do. That's what you have to do.
Me.
Nothing. You don't always have to do something.
I know, but a lot of young people today are in that mindset. Yeah. They have to do something.
Yeah, you
got to
work
on this.
You got a lot of time? Great. The Alano Club's got 40 meetings a week.
Yeah. Well, and that's like in that
and
book.
And then there's another 30 at the other place.
That's what a lot of the suggestions are. They're not necessarily, you will get up today and you will do this and this and this and this. It's just a suggestion for, okay, today maybe think about this or, here's a suggestion. Do the next right indicated thing. If you're having, it's like.
If I get up today, it's a good day.
Right.
Every day I wake up.
But they all
seem to want
homework
now. I'm on the right side of the daisies.
This is awesome.
And I'm tempted to say when I get that, so what's my homework today? Well, I don't know. Are you in school? What is your homework? Because I don't know what to tell them. You don't have any homework. Your homework is, go to meetings and don't drink or use no matter what and call me.
Call me every day?
Tell them to grab an old-timer at a meeting and give them a nice massage.
No, we don't do that.
We'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I know where your sponsors are from. Sponsees are from.
Jeez.
Yeah, she always gets the hot ones, though.
137 addicts, 210 teeth.
Yeah, but these ones will probably have at least four. She always gets the hot ones.
Shelly has had a habit of getting a
Shelly gets the
myriad
hot
of good-looking sponsees.
I would say that this crop is, they're not at the peak level of sponsees that I've had, but.
But they could get there?
Yeah.
They're not totally unfortunate looking?
No.
Okay. Well, you know what? Anybody that, it always happens. What happened? People come in, they're as thrashed as ever going to be.
30 days in.
Yeah. I remember
not
clearly.
Not meth addicts now, though, man. Their teeth are just gone.
I remember clearly the earlier days of CA where, these girls would come in and they'd be 93 pounds
Tore up from the floor, sucked up. Yeah.
And you give them 2 weeks of eating and all of a sudden you're like, that's her? Are you sure? Wow, she looks fantastic.
Yeah, her skin's not gray anymore.
Yeah.
And she's grown body parts back.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's a... Yeah, that's not a
Because we were judging their recovery, of course.
Well, and that's what I was going to say.
We were young, too.
See, the reality is, if you stay sober anything like 30 days, you're going to look a lot better because your demeanor's going to be so much better. I mean, everything's going to be better. You don't have to be hot looking. You'll be... Yeah. You will start to experience those kind of changes before you yourself realize you're having any of those changes. Like when you see people and they first come in to charter and they're brand new in there, And then you see them when they're getting out of charter. There is a significant difference in them. Significant.
Yep. Shelley looks like deep in thought.
I'm just wondering when I can eat dinner, actually. That was my deep
thought. As Bruce asks us what our final thoughts are, you can start thinking that way.
So, Shelley, since you're ready for this, what are your final thoughts?
I wasn't actually ready for that. I was thinking about food, not my final thoughts. My final thoughts are, once you've come to the jumping off point, just hang on until you get to the first step, and then you go forward.
Okay. Mark.
Don't balk. This is the easier, softer way.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My final words were similar. I wasn't going to use the term balk, but I was going to say, you know, we spent a long time looking for the easier, softer way and could never find it. And program is the easier, softer way for us.
Recovery 101.
If you are Facebook friendly, you can easily like the Recovery 101 radio show fan page. We put links to shows up there. If you'd like to join the secret group, you can ask at the Recovery 101 radio show fan page by messaging us there. You can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper. They will get you added to that group, and you can interact with people you hear about on the show, like Fantastic and Bill Piper and Robert and you know, a variety pack of other people. If you want to become lead out entertainment, whether it's comedy or music or something, and you're in a band and you're sober, or you know, at least a couple of the people in the band are sober, you can send us some MP3s. That's a preferred format. Send us a picture you'd like us to turn into a clickable link, and then send us a web address you'd like that clickable link to go to, whether it's YouTube or SoundCloud or Reverb Nation or Facebook or wherever, and we will do that for you for free and for fun. Did I say recovery101radio@gmail.com? Okay.
Sure.
Because that's where you send that other stuff to. You can also send boozy news there, and then that was that. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
So, Shelley, who is the lead out music by? Deer in the headlights.
No, I was trying to decide. I guess Elektra.
Elektra. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I've been to the ends, and I have pictures to show all of my friends. I've been all alone, and I've been desperate and searching for something. I have been to the end with no one there. To the top.